It's time to step inside the Iketagon with your host, Ike Feldman.
UFC 287, Miami Heat Arena, Dale Dale, the 305. What is up, everybody? I'm your boy, your brother in arms, Ike freaking Feldman. I will be in attendance for UFC 287. Inshallah, God willing, safe travels tomorrow night to witness one of the greatest combat sports rivalries of all time between Alex Poatan Pajeda versus Israel Stylebender Adesanya. It's going to be freaking epic. Follow all the content I will be pumping out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, at Iketagon, Iketagon. Your boy, Ike Feldman, will be getting involved. You get involved with me. Again, you can reach me at Ike Feldman or at Iketagon. Man, it is going to be freaking awesome. Freaking awesome. UFC 287. The word is that this is trending to be one of the biggest events of the year. It makes sense. Jorge Masvidal is box office. Kevin Holland is box office. Israel Adesanya is box office. Slowly but surely and quietly, Alex Pereira is becoming box office and is becoming the yin to Israel Adesanya's yang. Absolutely pumped for this. Hidden underneath the big-time fights with the co-main and the main event is some epic fights such as Kelvin Gastelum, Chris Curtis, just going to be an absolute war. I think it's going to decision. Neither fighter is going to back down. Both see what lies in front of them in terms of career trajectory and what a dominant win on a big stage and a big slot on a big card could do for their careers. You better believe they're going to bring it. Of course, Lupe Godinez versus Cynthia Calvillo. Underneath that is one of my favorite fights. My boy Chase Sherman is also fighting Michelle Waterson Gomez. GM3 Gerald Meerschaert is always entertaining. Kevin Holland's facing Santiago Ponzinibbio, which is just absolute fire. It's going to be a battle on the feet, you better believe it. Rob Font, Adrian Yanez, just epic cardio. MMA boxing technique will be on display. And, of course, Hart. That fight is a big fight in the bantamweight division. But let's focus at the top of the card first. Alex Pereira is 3-0 versus Israel Adesanya in combat sports. 2 in kickboxing. One of them was a decision win. The other was a TKO victory. And then, of course, the TKO victory at UFC 281 this past fall at MSG, where Alex Pereira was stunned in the first, at the very end of the first round. Israel Adesanya seemed to shake off the demons of his previous losses to Alex Pereira. It seemed that he was on track. The middle of the fight was a very subpar grappling match. And then later in the fight, Alex Pereira recovered, in which Israel Adesanya has given credit for. And then he just put on an epic flurry of hooks and crosses and just beautiful hand-eye coordination to track and just pound Israel Adesanya's face and jaw. And, oh my goodness, just could not miss at the final sequence of that fight. Pure accuracy and power, very, very dangerous combination. And probably the biggest reason for the success of Alex Pereira is that you leave an inch open in the door. He's kicking it down. He's walking through it. He's buying the place. Epic finish to UFC 281. I believe there was 11 finishes on that card in November at MSG. I believe it was the most finishes on a UFC card in UFC history. Holy moly. Epic, epic, epic. Now, can Israel Adesanya bounce back from that? He handled it like a champ. He wasn't pouting. He seemed to be unshaken from it. Doesn't feel like he has addressed it or is paying Alex Pereira the respect that is due for losing to the man three times. You know, he's still talking trash. I love Pereira's stance in all of this where he is just absolutely stoic. Rinse and repeat. Very confident. Very calm. Israel Adesanya may be trying to generate some confidence. It can't be true confidence at this point. I know he has huge self-belief, huge faith in his ability. But Alex Pereira has beaten the man three times. The UFC set up this rivalry 3 years in the making, paving a path for Pereira to get to Israel Adesanya to make this a huge fight that they could sell. I would bet that the UFC thought that Israel Adesanya was going to win the first MMA fight back at UFC 281. I bet everybody's shocked that Alex Pereira won. But when you pull back the curtain and you really take a look at the personality, the man behind the mission, Alex Pereira, he's a swordsman. He's always sharpening his blade, ready for the next battle. His craft is battle, and his battle has been pure, and his blade has been true. Time and time and time again. The biggest storyline, in my opinion, or footnote for any Alex Pereira fight, is that he trains with the former UFC light heavyweight champion and longtime Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, an absolute wet blanket of a grappler, in Glover Teixeira, day in and day out in Danbury, Connecticut. That cannot be presented to the forefront of any Alex Pereira fight preview enough. I respect it. And I'm sure Glover Teixeira's striking has gotten better on the reverse side of things. Glover is this excellent grappler, solid boxing, but training with a world-class kickboxer like Alex Pereira, day in and day out, no doubt has made Glover Teixeira's game more well-rounded. So I do respect that. And on the other side, the yang, Israel Adesanya is training with elite head coach Eugene Behrman out of City Kickboxing, fighters like Dan Hooker, Brad Riddell, Kai Kara France, every now and then Alexander Volkanovski, are in that same gym. So you have iron sharpening iron in terms of thinking, game planning, just elite mixed martial artists on Israel Adesanya's side of things as well. You gotta love it. This is an in-division super fight. It's not a cross-division super fight that we've seen with Islam Makhachev and Alexander Volkanovski, but this is an in-division super fight because of the rivalry, because of the past history. Throw in that these guys have side battles going on, side bets. Israel Adesanya, if you don't know by now, is obsessed, is a huge fan of anime, fight anime. I believe it's Naruto, Dragon Ball Z. That's all I know off the top of the head. And then to counter those, Alex Pereira is wearing Pokemon. I wonder if that is classified as anime. Is anime simply put Japanese cartoons? Because then I guess Pokemon would be considered anime. I just grew up watching Pokemon just considered a cartoon. I always thought that the more true to anime shows like Naruto, Dragon Ball Z were just lumped into the anime category, while Pokemon was more Americanized, less niche audience, more widespread. But anyway, the point is, these guys are battling not only on the mic, not only in the cage, over and over and over to the fourth time now, but also on the side about who's representing the better Japanese cartoons. I love it. I freaking love it. These guys were born to fight 10 times. They may fight 5 times. They may fight 5 times. If Israel Adesanya beats Alex Pereira tomorrow night in Miami, UFC 287, the headlining event, we are getting a trilogy, folks. We are getting a trilogy. I can't think of anything else in the UFC's middleweight division that I want to see more. So if the year, the middleweight title, the year to date looks like UFC 287, Pereira, Adesanya 2 or 4, however you're looking at it. And then we get again in November, MSG, Pereira, Adesanya 3. Man, we're talking about like an Ali Frazier type of storyline. That might be unfolding. I always see mixed martial arts as just 50 years, 50 to 70, whenever that epic era of boxing was, where Madison Square Garden was the mecca of fighting. I feel that MMA is entering that, where stars are becoming bigger than life. Crossing over into multimedias, movies, music. But then the true-to-fan fighters like Alex Pereira, like Israel Adesanya, are just pouring their all into their crafts. I love it. I absolutely love it. There's no doubt these guys are peak striking. For MMA, worldwide MMA, these guys are peak striking. Championship kickboxers, 50 fights each in kickboxing years ago, before entering mixed martial arts, before putting on the 4-ounce gloves, before stepping into the cage for our viewing pleasure. Absolute box office event is tomorrow night, UFC 287. You bet your sweet ass I'm pumped for this. I'm going to try to conserve my energy throughout the night, try to pace myself, enjoy the moment, take in everything, capture everything. Again, follow me everywhere, at Iktagon. I will be pumping. If I get 30 seconds of downtime, I will use that time to put the content online for you guys. Truly, truly excited about this event. It's been a long time coming since I've attended a UFC event. Heck, it's been a long time since I've attended a UFC event on the road, the Ruad. But I'm excited. I'm excited. I could talk about this fight for an hour. I could get into the nitty gritty, but I'm going to try to just keep the ball rolling. Talk to you guys. In a couple of minutes, I want to ask you, is oatmeal a snack or a meal? Is oatmeal a snack or a meal? I want to know your thoughts and opinions on that. Let's slide to the co-main event. Gilbert Burns, a true seasoned vet in the welterweight division, elite grappling abilities, world-class jiu-jitsu, a world champion in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, has developed striking has a knack for cracking his opponents with that huge overhand right. Brazilian-born, Florida-trained, has crossed over many of the elite mixed martial arts circles down in Florida. Seasoned vet. Nothing can shake this man. Except, is Jorge Masvidal fighting in his actual home freaking town? Mr. 305, the real 305. Dale, dale, dale. Jorge Masvidal, game-bred Masvidal, fighting in Miami. The UFC returning to Miami. After 20 years. And Jorge Masvidal is just put right in the perfect slot. Yeah, of course, a Masvidal Covington title shot. Title fight might have been bigger than this opportunity, but Jorge Masvidal fighting fellow Florida man in Miami's as close as to perfect matchmaking as you can get. Jorge Masvidal, hands behind the back, braided hair. Is he going to baptize Gilbert Burns? Is he motivated? Is the Jorge Masvidal we heard recently on the Joe Rogan podcast, where he opened up about losing badly to Kamaru Usman via knockout, losing getting dominated by Colby Covington? UFC 272. 5 rounds of just not getting a shot off, not letting his hands fly. In my estimation, he was just mentally wasn't there. Very similar to the Chito Vera fight, where it just took him to get hit for the rounds to go by, where it seemed he was just mentally checked out. And what did Covington do? What did Sanhagen do? They chipped away, they stuck to the game plan, and they pressed, and they pressed, and they pressed. That's not the best we've seen of Chito. That is surely not the best we've seen of Masvidal. People have talked so much shit about Jorge Masvidal, bringing everything he's done into his career in question by calling him a longtime journeyman. And if he beats Gilbert Burns, if he dominates Gilbert Burns, they're going to say Gilbert Burns is past his prime. Why don't you look at the other side of the coin? Jorge Masvidal, who has talked retirement if he loses, is putting it all on the line in the Rogan podcast, in the pressers, on fight night, tomorrow night. The Tony Montana theme is going to hit the speakers. Jorge Masvidal is going to give every ounce of himself to try to get the victory and to continue this magical run, to try to avenge that loss to Colby, to try to silence the shit talker, to potentially get a title shot against a man who interrupted a post-fight press conference back in London, the start of the resurrection. Is Jorge Masvidal going to resurrect his career on Easter Sunday? We will see. We will see. What a perfect storyline. What a perfect trajectory for Jorge Masvidal. Should he dominate? Now, I'm not talking about drop Gilbert Burns once, and then he's up 2 rounds, and then he gets dominated in the 3rd round, similar to Amanda Nunes and Shevchenko, similar to a Bobby Green and Rafael Fiziev. I'm talking about from pillar to post, from the start of the fight to the end of the fight. Can Jorge Masvidal dominate? And we talk about game bred. That's a nickname for dogs. Dogs in the fight. My dog is ready to fight a dog who's outside right now. Just talking about Jorge Masvidal has got my, I would say, 90, 100-pound dog fired up. Take it easy, Poppy. Take it easy. Jorge Masvidal will not take it easy tomorrow night. Like I said, he will pour everything he has into that fight. Very excited for it. Very excited for it. Now, I understand in terms of ranking, putting the Rob Font, Adrian Yanez fight ahead of the Kevin Holland and Santiago Ponzinibbio fight, but in my opinion, gotta flip flop those fights. Kevin Holland has quietly become box office. You get him around these fight cards, these press conferences, he's stirring up more headlines than 75% of the card. He takes on Santiago Ponzinibbio, who, like Jorge Masvidal, is fighting for his career. Is he going to hang it up? This is tremendous matchmaking. This is tremendous matchmaking. Both men up and down over the last four fights. Wins, loss, wins, loss. Who really wants it? Who really wants it? I can see Santiago giving everything. But Kevin Holland, when he's relaxed, when there's zero pressure on him to perform, is when he does his best. I like Kevin Holland in this spot to get the victory. Could be something funky. Could be a standing guillotine. Could be a Kimura from the bottom. Could be a spinning elbow. I like Kevin Holland to do something funky, no pressure, kind of like John Jones earlier in his career where he would just do flying knees off the bat, where he would crawl to his opponents. He didn't care. Now John Jones is trying to protect his bank, protect his jaw, and preserve himself with the very conservative approach he takes over the last 5 to 7 years. Kevin Holland will be loose. Expect a highlight reel knockout from Kevin Holland. Expect it. Now, the aforementioned Rob Font, Adrian Yanez fight. I love this fight. I love this fight. If you can't tell, I love this whole card. Are you guys paying attention? Are you guys paying attention? Rob Font, the heavy-handed 135-pounder, Rob Font, Boston's own or Massachusetts' own, taking on Adrian Yanez, who has crossed over, who's like a part-time law MMA trainee, trainer of Aljamain Sterling or Rob Dvalishvili. Both of whom use Adrian Yanez's skill set, which is precision striking, specifically boxing, to improve their striking. And it showed with Merab versus Marlon, Aljo versus Jan. It's shown. But is Adrian Yanez that good that he's going to beat Rob Font and leapfrog him in just an absolute stacked bantamweight division? That is a tall, tall task. Rob Font has fought bantamweight elite after bantamweight elite. Adrian Yanez, this is the biggest fight of his career. Rob Font, you can't say the same. He's fought Marlon Chito Vera. He's fought Jose Aldo. 5-round main event fight night cards. UFC 220 main event cards in his hometown, TD Garden, Boston, and has performed. Adrian Yanez, this is a big step up in competition, of environment, of opportunity. He's young enough that this may not be his time. I feel like Rob Font, he's fighting for... he's fighting for that title shot. if he loses to Adrian Giannis, then he slowly starts to fall down the pecking order in a division that's running fast. And if he loses to Adrian Giannis, he can no longer keep up with the division, in my opinion. It's moving that fast, the bantamweight division. This is a very, very important fight for Rob Font. Adrian Giannis, of course it's important. It's a big pay-per-view event. Main card. Jorge Masvidal fights after Adrian Giannis. It's a huge fight for Adrian Giannis. What he gets out of this is experience. Unrivaled, unmatched experience. You gotta respect it. And he will. And he will take it in, everything. Because I think it will go a decision, which is just valuable rounds on a big card to soak in the moment, to understand how to handle a big-time fight week. Pick your spots with your adrenaline. Did you conserve it correctly during the fight week? Were you mentally peaking while you're stepping in the cage? Adrian Giannis will get those questions answered. Now, these back-to-back fights, Kelvin Gastelum and Chris Curtis and Christian Rodriguez and Raul Rosas Jr. is very interesting. So, for those of you that don't know, the fight before the main card opener, the Kelvin Gastelum Chris Curtis fight, is a bigger fight than the main card opener. What? Why? I'm paying $80. Why is the main card opener going to be better than the ESPN free TV fight? What? Because they want more people to buy the fight. If and when Kelvin Gastelum and Chris Curtis put on a hell of a boxing match that is curtailed towards bringing in more fans because it's action-packed. Look at Kelvin Gastelum's history. Look at Chris Curtis's history. You have two guys that give no Fs, that fully have no problem throwing caution to the wind. Both who have similar styles, just different ways of expressing said styles, meaning MMA boxing, like Rob Font, Adrian Giannis. This fight, I would argue, is bigger than all three of the first main card fights. This fight is going to be more action-packed. This fight is going to get you dollars. It's going to make your dollars holler. Kelvin Gastelum, Chris Curtis is a fire freaking matchup. Raul Rosas might have been talking crap about Chris Curtis. Might have said something that pissed him off about being a little higher on the cards order. But if that is true, that is false, my man. You are young, you are talented, but you are a little uneducated about how the machine works. Chris Curtis is getting you more dollars. Kelvin Gastelum is getting you more dollars. Rosa should understand. The 18-year-old should understand. I mean, I don't think he has a high school education. I don't know if he's graduated yet. Maybe in a month or two. But he should have the wherewithal to understand that Kelvin Gastelum, a man who took Israel Adesanya to the depths of hell, UFC 236, going against a longtime high-level performer who is one of the absolute fan favorites in the sport, in Chris Curtis, as I mispronounced the name, Chris Curtis, is an absolute fan favorite who's going to get Rosas more dollars because Rosas gets pay-per-view points. You hope. Rosas needs to show some respect, mind his P's and Q's, and step in line a little. Because Chris Curtis trains with Sean Strickland. And I'd assume both them homies don't play. So, Chris Curtis sent back some gentle shots towards Rosa's direction. I hope and believe that's where the beef will end. All right, guys, if you can't tell that I'm pumped, check your pulse. Because I'm freaking pumped. UFC 287, Miami, Florida. Let's go. Follow me at Ike the Gun everywhere. Enjoy the show, everyone. Peace.